Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, my friends. This is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm sitting across the table from Stephanie Watson. Stephanie, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad we finally got a chance to do this.
Yes, me too. It's been a long time coming.
How long have you been in the business?
Well, that's a good question. I've been on my own for almost 10 years now as a nonprofit consultant. Before that, I spent about 15 years in the social work field, social work planning and admin. Never was a counselor, but mostly program development, evaluation, doing needs assessments, grant writing, and that sort of thing, both at the state level, local level, and then private nonprofit.
How did you transition to the entrepreneurial space of doing your own consultancy?
Be careful what you ask for, is what I say. I was at home with my kids for about 10 years, 8 or 10 years. And, you know, when they started getting into school, I started thinking, you know, if I could just do something from home, grant writing, research, program development, just, you know, here and there, and kind of keep myself busy and kind of keep my foot in that nonprofit space, in that social work space, that would be good. Well, I got one client and charged really almost next to nothing, but I knew that I was getting my foot back in the door,
right.
Knew I was learning a lot, making a lot of connections and all of that. That just kind of snowballed from
sure.
there. One client then told another client, and a lot of it was word of mouth. So I never intentionally set out to be a nonprofit consultant. It just kind of happened. And before I knew it, you know, full-time plus.
Right.
And have several people working for me. I have a full-time operations manager now that does kind of a lot of my admin stuff. So yeah, again, be careful what you ask for. But I absolutely love what I do. So
yeah.
So that helps as well.
So it did take on a life of its own. You ended
it
up
did.
Hiring staff.
Yes. and I never thought that I would be, a business owner per se. Mm-hmm. But now I have my own accountant, and I have, you know, like I said, an operations manager. I have several people working for me. I'm also on part-time faculty at Georgia State University,
mm-hmm.
where I teach grant writing and nonprofit management. And I love doing that. And I love kind of shaping that part of the workforce, and I learn more from them than they learn from me, I'm sure. So I've actually hired some of my former students to do some work for me, and then they get some experience, and
yeah.
then they kind of roll off or whatever. But
right.
I've trained them, and you know, and I know that our personalities mesh.
Right.
So it's great. It's great fun.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about the unknown portions of
right
yeah.
of their work and
right.
work ethic, and
that's pretty
all that.
Cool.
Yeah, they turn their assignments in on time, and it's well written. Hey, you know, that might work. So.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
So you make me want to talk about a number of different things that in your practice, you know, looking at nonprofit management, looking about grant writing, I kind of want to ask you about both. Is there a typical client, and is there a typical need for the typical client?
Okay. Sure. In terms of where I work the best are with organizations that are at least a few years old, have a few years of 990s under their belt, have a few years of programs and getting outcomes and that sort of thing. That's where grant writing and pursuing funders mm-hmm. kind of falls the best, is at least having a few years under your belt. I work with all different sizes of organizations, from you know, somebody that has maybe $150,000 operating budget all the way up to a couple million operating budget, and you know, different
staff loads, different staffing needs.
Well, different staffing needs, but also different sectors.
Okay.
Of, you know, I work a lot with mental health, substance abuse. I work a lot with families and children. I work a lot with physical health also.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Is that just because of your own personal interests from the social
yeah,
work background?
Yeah. That's kind of where I, you know, started off with my schooling, started off with my first job, started off with kind of wanting to work in the space of working with families, children. I actually have my undergraduates in education, special education, and elementary education. So I have kind of that background, worked in the school system for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, families and children.
So what then does a typical nonprofit ask you to do?
Typically, I start off with grant writing for them. It may be writing a specific grant or writing a specific set of grants, or it may be prospecting. It may be cultivation of funders. and maybe doing a lot of research. And then also I get into program development work then, you know, what mm-hmm. do we do next? I do a lot of kind of preliminary evaluation, assessment and evaluation, and then grow it from there. And sometimes I do needs assessments as well. Mm-hmm. But my bailiwick and my, you know, sweet spot is the grant writing
right.
and program development piece of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a secret to doing good grant writing?
Follow the directions. It's amazing. You know, I tell my students this. I say, you know, once you know how one funder, mm-hmm. you know, accepts grants or accepts proposals, you know how that one funder accepts proposals. Mm-hmm. Every funder is going to be different. Every funder, you know, is going to ask for different things or laid out differently or outlined differently. There are some basics that all funders ask for, but there are some tripping points too that you have to look out for. But, sure. You know, every funder is different. So you really need to kind of follow.
Right.
Their instructions, follow their lead, and fit in with their priorities.
Right.
As opposed to making your programs or your priorities fit with them, making sure that you mesh.
So, again, several questions come to mind.
Okay.
Should I, as a nonprofit looking for funding, should I ever do a cold grant application?
I never say never. I have been successful at that as well. Some funders will say, please don't contact us. You know, just go ahead and submit. And so obviously, if that's what they say, that's what you follow. I typically tell people if you're working or if you're writing grants, you will get 1 in 10 funded. If you're just cold writing, if you're working with a seasoned grant writer, it usually goes up to about 4 in 10.
Oh.
So you're like quadrupling.
Yeah.
You know, and a seasoned grant writer is going to do some of that contacting of funders either over the phone or email
right.
or whatever.
Right.
So yeah. So you definitely increase your odds if you're
okay
contacting the funders and talking to them ahead of time.
Yeah. No, I was always under the impression that grant making or at least doing the whole grant applications process was still as much of a relationships maintenance endeavor as fundraising. So, you know, you still have to shake hands. You still have to
go.
Right,
right.
Do you find that all grants, let me figure out how to ask this question. What I'm concerned about is the back end reporting requirements that come with some grants.
Yep.
And I've been part of a nonprofit that specifically avoided a certain set of grants because they didn't have the bandwidth to do the back end reporting.
Right.
So how does a nonprofit keep an eye out for that? And are all grants made for all nonprofits, I guess is the question.
Yeah. No. And you kind of have to know the nonprofit. Like, I really take a deep dive into the nonprofit when I'm working with them, regardless if I'm writing one grant or if I'm writing 50 grants. I really want to get to know them and get to know, like you said, their bandwidth, get to know what their operations looks like. I tell my students this all the time as well. You know, grant writing is kind of working at the intersection of all things nonprofit.
Yeah.
You have to know a lot about a lot of things that the nonprofit is doing. And so not every grant is going to fit every nonprofit, even if you think the priorities fit, if their priorities fit with your priorities, it may not fit if your operating budget's $100,000 and you're applying for a grant, you know, $400,000 or $500,000.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to, even if you were to get it, how are you going to handle that huge influx of money? Are you going to have the personnel to handle that? Are you going to have the personnel to deliver the programs and then to, you know, assess what's going on with the
right.
program? So,
right.
There's a lot more that goes into grant writing and picking and selecting certain grants and certain funders, than just seeing if the priorities fit.
Right. So you have to have an actual strategic, I think, outlook for what happens to the, what happens to the organization once you get those funds?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. Are you going to be able to deliver the programs and are you going to be able to deliver them well?
Yeah.
And then that I look at as, you know, are you serving your clients well? Mm-hmm. Are you serving your constituents mm-hmm. well? If you're going to accept a large chunk of money and you can't handle it, mm-hmm. then you're really doing a disservice to the people you're serving and the community you're serving.
So aside from grants, what are some of the other things you've done to help nonprofits look at strategy, sustainability, things like that?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I have worked with a lot of people in terms of evaluation
mm-hmm.
and looking at evaluation on the front end and the back end in terms of, if we're looking at the front end in terms of assessing the needs, what are the true needs, not only of the organization, but what are the needs out there in the community of the people you're serving, and getting those needs kind of hammered out. And then evaluation on the back end, then I've done a lot of goals, objectives, outcomes, and methods development as well. How does that all fit in with what you're doing? Are you measuring? Are you truly measuring where you're making an impact? And what is your impact?
Right.
How much, how big is your impact? How deep is your impact? And how do you get at that impact, and not just measuring true numbers like we've served 100 people, but how do you know you've made that person's life better? I do needs assessments in terms of looking at gaps in services as well, and up and coming, you know, what are the up and coming needs of a community? Some strategic planning I've done and looked at, you know, long term, both short term, intermediate, and long term needs, objectives, and where do you want to head? I also help people define their mission a little bit.
Oh, okay.
In terms of what is your unique proposition? How are you unique in the world? What gap are you filling?
So you might actually be sitting down with the board to have these larger discussions.
Yes.
Yep.
I've worked with boards before, and, you know, worked with them in terms of board development, in terms of what their role really should be in an organization.
Is there something that you would tell the average board? Like, is not a lot of people join boards and come to the table with a set of what it really means to run a nonprofit enterprise. What would you tell an average board member who wants to join a nonprofit?
Well, you know, the board is really a legal entity as well. And so when you're joining a board, you're kind of taking on, you know, oversight for that organization legally as well. And, you know, a lot of board members don't realize that they're also the face of the organization. So part of what their role is not only to come to board meetings and make decisions, but to go out and sell, and to be really passionate about, you know, the organization that they're sitting on at their mission, and so that they can be able to sell. And part of that selling is, you know, promotional, obviously, or PR, but the other part is fundraising with that as well, that, you know, part of their job should be fundraising, should be, you know, making that ask.
Yeah.
And whether that be in grant writing or individual or whatever, that's part of their role as well.
I've often heard it said that a person shouldn't think about being a nonprofit board member if they can't give it as much time as a regular job.
Right.
And I don't know if that's fair, right? I mean, because am I now asking a person to have an 80-hour week between their regular job and now their nonprofit job?
Right.
Because when I do it, it doesn't take me 40 hours a week.
Right.
But that being said, I meet other nonprofit board members who say, oh, I don't want to be a fundraiser.
Yeah.
How do you change their minds?
I don't know if it's so much changing their minds as it is kind of tapping into what their talent is and what they can bring to the table. I'm thinking of one board member in particular that I work with a lot, and he's a counselor. And he doesn't feel comfortable asking people for money. So what he does is he helps on the other end. He helps write the letters. He helps proofread the letters. He helps stuff envelopes and send things out as opposed to being the one that physically goes and asks, or he comes up with leads to say, hey, we might want to tap into this person. So, you know, I think it's not just making the ask. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, finding where they fit the best.
Okay, cool.
So,
well, we're almost out of time. How would a listener contact you if they had any questions for you?
Sure. They can contact me, Stephanie Watson, at 678-858-7995. That's my phone number. Or they could go to my website. It's stephaniemwatson.com.
Got it. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thanks to the listener for joining us. This has been the Nonprofit Snapcast. We will see you guys again in about a week.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.